It was 1929, and I was 5, and it's the first time I remember the change from the old year to the new year. And because in those days we used to have what was called a watch night service. Do you remember watch night services? We were allowed to stay up, the big, big thrill. And after the watch night service, which covered the transition from one year to another, we'd come back through the dark, and I was standing on the steps of number 3 Mander's Terrace in Dublin. I remember, I don't remember who was there, most of our little family group, but my 2 aunts were there, Aunt Polly and Aunt Kitty, and we were standing on the step and listening, and in the distance, coming up from the port of Dublin, all the ships in port were sounding their sirens. And I said to Auntie Polly, "Why are they sounding their sirens?" "Oh," she said, "they do that," she said, "to greet the new year." You can picture that little scene, can't you? A little 5-year-old listening to ship's sirens greeting the new year. I haven't got a siren to sound for you as we look out into the year that's to come. I have more what I would like to call a fanfare. 3 trumpets sounding a great New Year message. And the 3 trumpets are here in Psalm 23, and you've read them over and over again, and you've said them this morning, but now I want you to hear them. I want you to think of yourself as standing somewhere, listening and hearing in the distance 3 trumpets sounding, and you say, "Why are they sounding the trumpets?" And the answer comes, "They're sounding the trumpets to greet the new year." So I have 3 trumpets in fanfare for you. And the first says, "I shall not want." And the second says, "I will fear no evil." And the third says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The 3 I wills of Psalm 23. I shall not want. The trumpet that speaks about provision. We don't know what the year was going to contain. Nobody does, except the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We don't know what the year contains, but it will contain needs. And in his provision for us, needs are already met. I shall not want. And the second trumpet addresses circumstances. We don't know what we will face in the coming year. Nobody does, except the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But the trumpet says, "I will fear no evil." He has made a provision for that as well. And the third trumpet sounds and addresses our need for assurance and certainty. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't know what to expect in the coming year, but the one great expectation, the expectation beyond all expectations, remains steady, unchanging, secure. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you hear my 3 trumpets sounding? Can you hear the fanfare? We're a little bit previous. We're not standing on a step at the hinge where one year is yielded to another. Almost. So when it comes, will you listen out for the trumpets? I shall not want. I fear no evil. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you hear them? Even now they're getting ready to sound, and if you listen carefully on New Year's night, you'll hear them. At any rate, that's what I want you to hear. They're the three focal points of this such a lovely, well-known psalm, but possibly a psalm that we don't pay detailed attention to. We know it in general. So will you keep listening for the trumpets and focus your attention on some points in detail from this psalm. The great truth of the psalm is that the Lord attends in person to every need. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He attends in person to every need. Shepherding is one great picture of the Lord and his people in the Bible, but the Bible is full of pictures. There's not only the picture of the shepherd and the sheep, there's the picture of the commander and the soldier, there's the picture of the bridegroom and the bride, there's the picture of the building and the stone that makes up the building. All sorts of pictures. No picture contains all the truth. Every picture is true all the time. My word, that came out well. Can I say it again? No picture contains all the truth. Every picture is true all the time. So there are other pictures as well as the shepherd and the sheep as we go into the new year that we'll need to bear in mind. But the picture of the shepherd and the sheep is always true. Come what may, come wind, come weather, he's always the shepherd and we are always the sheep. We can rely upon it, and we can rely on the fact that he will himself in person attend to our every need. I fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. So, if you have a Bible open, in verse 2, there's rest and there's activity. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Time of rest and the time of movement. But he's in charge all the time. He's attending to every need, every situation. In verse 3, there's the inward and the outward. He restores my soul. That's the inward. He leads me in the right path. That's the outward. He's attending to every need. He's there for every situation. In verses 4 and 5, he deals with life's troubles and life's joys. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, and you'll be remembering the old translation, the valley of the shadow of death, which is a literal translation, but the idea of the darkest valley is there. So every valley, not just the death valley. But verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not only the dark times, but also the party times, the feasting times. And the Lord is there looking after us in every situation. Verse 5, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. There's the enemy and the friend. And verses 5 and 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the ongoing present. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever is the guaranteed future. See all these contrasts in the Psalms. That's the Bible's way of saying in every situation, in every circumstance, at every time, the Lord is attending to every need. He's looking after us. I want you to notice that as the need grows greater, his presence becomes closer. In verse 4, we suddenly come to that word, you. In verses 1 to 3, the Lord is out there. He's He. And He's leading us. He's going before us. But in verse 4, when the darkness gathers, the deepest darkness, yes, maybe for any given one of us, the shadow of death. The Lord ceases to be He out front, and He becomes you alongside. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because, do you remember the old one? Because Thou art with me. Thou art with me. The close presence of the personal God. The deeper the need, the closer the presence. Please register it. Please don't forget it. He attends to every need, but the deeper the need, the closer the present. No matter what the circumstances are, He can provide. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What an unusual time to have a party. I think of David fleeing from Absalom, and I think actually it's that situation that he has in mind when he wrote this psalm. It's a psalm of a shepherd boy, but it's full of the thoughts of an older man. David was fleeing from Absalom, and he had a few days of head start. He just managed to get away really by the skin of his teeth, and he made to get across Jordan and put the barrier of the river between himself and Absalom's pursuit. And he and his party came faint and weary through the wilderness. And there was a man named Barzillai the Gileadite, a man who lived in Transjordan. And we read in the Bible that he brought out bread and beds and cakes and raisins and water to meet the king in the wilderness, because he said, they'll be weary. Absalom is thundering behind, ready to catch them at their weakest, and Barzillai is in front, setting a table. And David saw the hand of God. You prepare a table before me. Yes, even in the presence of my enemies. Circumstances do not alter the reality and marvel of divine guidance. And you'll know the verse of the hymn that says, His love in time past forbids me to think He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Though dark be my way, Since he is my guide, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. Provision independent of circumstances. In verse 2, the second half of the verse, he leads me. You see that? So where is he? Well, the leader is out in front. He's out there, in front of me. In verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Where is he now? He's still in front, of course, but now he's also alongside. And in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Where is he now? He's bringing up the rear. So he's there, and he's here, and he's back there. He's all around. A protective covering. Oh, dear ones, in the days when I was young and even more foolish than I am now, I used to go annually in the summer as an officer in a boys' camp. Now I have to tell you that I'm not one of the Lord's natural campers. I hate sleeping on the ground. I hate wearing shorts. I hate having my feet in Wellingtons. Oh, there was a dear fellow, a fellow officer named Dougie Northridge. And Dougie, he felt like that as well. And Dougie said to me one day, you know, he said, if reward is proportionate to sacrifice, you and I will be at the head of the queue. I used to wake up in the morning very, very early, and one of my first acts when I woke up was to cross the day off on my calendar, because it seemed to bring nearer the day of going home. Oh, the thought of going home and having pavements under my feet and a bed to sleep in and a decent pair of trousers and a bath. No, I wasn't one of the Lord's natural campers. But one year, we had particularly good tents. They were ridge tents, for those of you who know about such things, and the ridge was 7 feet high, so you could actually walk into them. Extremely comfortable tents. And I remember one night going back to my tent from the officer's tent, and absolutely lashing down with rain, and thinking, oh, these are super tents, everything will be all right. And when I got in, I found the boys who were in my charge mopping down the inside of the tent with towels. Now, I don't know if you know about tents. If you leave the canvas alone, the tent will be perfectly dry and rain-free. But if you see moisture glistening on the inside of the canvas and you wipe it off, then you create a patch through which the rain will come and drip. And these little boys, in their anxiety to remain dry, were busy mopping down every bit of the canvas in the tent, in effect creating a sieve. We didn't have a comfortable night. But if they'd left it alone, it would have been all right. It was fussing about it, damaged it. Leave it alone, it'll be all right. He's out there, he's here, and he's back there. You're all right. Don't fuss about it. The Lord is all around you. The protective covering is sufficient. Just leave it alone. He'll look after you. And come what may, you're on a road that leads home. Oh, do hold on to that one. Come what may, you're on a road that leads home. Very often, dear ones, as you look back and as you look forward, the road does not make sense to us. Why this particular twist and turn? Why this roadblock? Why this rough surface? Why this hard going? We do not understand the road we walk. And the old translation used to say, he leads me in, do you remember it? Paths of righteousness. I do wish we still had that translation. Paths of righteousness. All through the Bible, the word righteousness has the same meaning. It comes in all sorts of different situations, but it always means the same thing. It always means, listen, that which is right with God. That which is right with God. Always has that meaning. So what's a path of righteousness? Why? It's a path that makes sense to him. It's a path that's right in his eyes. He leads me in paths that are right in his eyes. And we, in our poor blindness, we say, oh, this doesn't make sense. And to us, of course, in our blindness, it doesn't make sense, but it's making sense to him, and that's what matters. And so we read in our psalm, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, says the Hebrew, unto length of days. Unto length of days. Not just all my life long, as this translation has it. That wouldn't have made sense to David anyway, because there was no house of the Lord in his days, if you recall. The house wasn't built until the time of Solomon. Unto length of days. He's looking forward to that eternal habitation. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, says Paul. And every road is going arrow straight to that house. And we may think it's twisting and turning, and we may say, why this, why that, why here, why there, why the roughness, why the hard going? It's going arrow straight to the house not made with hands. And the longest way round is the shortest way home, and he's leading us by paths that make sense to him. Beloved ones, listen out for the trumpets. I shall not want. I will fear no evil. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.